Hi everyone, you're listening to Venturi's Voice. I'm your host, Andy Davis. This show is all about building a hub of relevant, insightful, and actionable business insights that can help drive greater performance and innovation. I've worked with several tech startups myself and know from experience that success is underpinned by a passion for continual learning and growth. So I'm grateful to have the opportunity to speak with our guests and learn from their stories. If you enjoy this podcast, you can download the free ebook featuring my personal podcast highlights from the past 2 years at www.venturi-group.com/podcast-ebook. If you're looking for more information on today's episode, just head over to the Venturi website to check out the show notes. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the show. Today's guest is Ritesh Manchanda, Engineering Manager at Frontend at Namely. Thank you for taking the time. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to this. I'm, actually trying to kind of dabble a little bit with code at the minute. So maybe by the end of the show, you can actually give me some pointers on where to start, because it's quite interesting now, isn't it, about learning, learning development skills. You don't really need to invest in an expensive education anymore to necessarily learn them. You seem to be able to pick them up, online. But even with that, there's sort of so much, isn't there, that it's quite difficult to decide where to even begin, is what I'm tended to find. So I certainly need your advice.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's like plenty of opportunities online as well, to learn. So definitely don't have to go to school anymore for it.
So when you started, what was it like? I think there's more of a defined career path now for engineers. But it's still interesting to get people's take, because relatively compared to a lot of other industries, it's still new. And certainly the skill building aspects of it is changing quite quickly. So how did you, first get into it, and, how did you kind of continue to, build the skills that were necessary?
Yeah, it's been a long path, actually. So I'll start from way back during my school time. So this was, I think, mid-90s, I believe, and the internet had just come out, and everyone was using the 56.6 modem. And you could still hear the noise when you dialed in. So at that time, I got my first computer. My parents bought it for me, and after that, I was just glued to it, right? So just learning stuff, and the good old days of building a web page on Hotbot or some other random websites, like web page builders. So that's what kind of got me interested in it to begin with. And then my interest kind of started growing, and I got into gaming a bit. And then I decided to, take some educational courses in graphic design. So I learned Adobe Photoshop at that time. So after that, my interest kind of started growing. But so I grew up in India, and we didn't have a lot of like bachelor level courses for graphic design back then. And so I kind of just went to business school for a couple of years, trying to figure out, if I could handle that. So after 2 years of doing that, I was like, well, I don't really want to do this anymore. So I didn't finish my third year, which was the last year. After finishing like a year and a half or so, I went to a career fair where I got the opportunity to look at other, graphic design courses overseas. And that's where I kind of applied for different courses and got into one in New Zealand, in addition to another one in Australia, I think. And I decided to just go to New Zealand for graphic design. Got my bachelor's of graphic design from over there. And then, of course, like as a part of the curriculum there, we had like other courses such as, you know, web design and like coding for the web. And the other courses that I did and was very interested in were like game design and, 3D graphics. So kind of got interested in 3D graphics a lot and wanted to look for opportunities in that area, but also had web as a backup plan. I guess that worked out. So initially, like, when I came to the States, I wanted to get into game design. I was, doing graphic design back then. This was back in 2006, I believe. Yeah. So the first couple of jobs, that I worked on, I did purely graphic design. And even like one of those jobs I went to, during my interview, I basically told them, hey, like, don't expect me to do any coding because I don't like coding. So interesting how that worked out. After a year or so at the job, I was like, hey, I'm, you know, starting to get bored of like just designing things. I kind of want to make it work. In the browser. So I was like, can you let me do some coding? And I kind of just went from there and like started coding a little bit and then, got into JavaScript. And that's basically how I ended up coding from there. And then when I started that job, I was doing 100% design. And when I left the job, I was doing 90% coding, 10% design.
and it's fascinating how those things kind of come about. And it's not too dissimilar of a story for a lot of technical people. You kind of learn it out of, you know, necessity in a way. A lot of people are convinced that everyone's going to have to know how to code to a certain extent. Are you kind of bought in with that that statement as well? Do you think that eventually, you know, everyone's going to really need to code to be able to just do some of the most, you know, basic things?
I mean, yeah, I kind of believe so. I mean, even though not at like an advanced level, people should at least like have a knowledge of, hey, what does HTML look like and how does it work? So like if someone wants to go make a HTML page, even though it's more advanced now, you know, should just be able to do that and at least have a very basic understanding of like how things work, in the coding area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, to have just a basic understanding now. You know, what would you kind of recommend, you know, to a lot of people to kind of get their foot in the door and just have that basic understanding of code? Because there's a lot of different languages out there, and I think that's what probably seems quite overwhelming to people. But, you know, what's your advice for people to just understand maybe the fundamentals?
Yeah, I mean, I would say start very basic. If you're gonna start, I'm assuming that this will be for web. If you want to get into web, then I would say start with just basic HTML and CSS, right? Like that's the basic building blocks of a website, and then just figure out how to create a web page, and then from there, once you have that figured out, go into more of like a scripting language where JavaScript would be the entry point there. And I mean, JavaScript has become so like, it's such a widely used language and so flexible that you can, do a lot of things with it. Like now you can do mobile apps with it. You can do desktop apps with it. So like, it's very flexible. So I would say if you're really interested in something, start with HTML, CSS, get into JavaScript, because that can kind of expand out to other areas as well. And not to mention the IoT as well, which is Internet of Things. You can, if you're interested, you can make, bots out of it with hardware as well. So there's lots of stuff you can do with JavaScript, and it's relatively easier to learn than other languages.
Yeah, we're certainly seeing a trend. It seems to be quite in demand at the moment, certainly Java. Well, I think, just dev talent in general seems to be always in demand, but Java in particular. As you've, continued to progress through your career from the days of, full graphic design work to, eventually kind of moving over to the code, looking forward after that, was it pretty obvious how you wanted to progress your career? What was the kind of conscious thought process after, you'd started to, do so much development work? Was it, you wanted to continue to enhance them skills? What was the mindset and what was the kind of thought process looking forward at that point?
Yeah, I mean, earlier I talked a little bit about how I transitioned into more of a developer role in my one of the jobs that I worked at. So while I was transitioning, I was also working on a lot of side projects of my own. So I at that point I kind of knew that this is what I'm interested in and this is what I want to pursue. So I would play around with JavaScript and sort of learn other APIs. Like I was interested in creating apps. So I started looking into different APIs, that were available online that I could use and create different apps. So I started looking at Instagram API, Twitter API, and, started playing around with them. And, at that point, after building those apps, I was like, hey, this is really what I'm interested in. I'm really interested in building web apps, and that's kind of what I want to get into. And so when I started looking for my next job, I focused my job search to that.
So you started your job search there and then, move forward. And was it the, projects that you're looking for, and did you find that people have always been kind of crying out for dev talent, was it kind of abundantly clear to you that you were in such demand at that time?
Actually it wasn't. I knew, yeah, at that time I kind of knew that developers were more in demand, but I wasn't expecting a large demand for front-end focused engineering, but as I went into my job search, I kind of came to the realization that, yeah, there's a lot of demand for this profession. So definitely found myself in the right place.
Exactly. That's, I think it's funny that you kind of done it from that way, because it's not like kind of a conscious thing. You find that maybe this generation now are looking at it as kind of, it's becoming kind of that traditional career path, if you like. People are kind of consciously going into it now because they know that it's an in-demand job. You're going to have probably relatively good job security in there, and these things. But, maybe when you were doing it, or even before your time, I think it was a completely different mindset in that people were, working in development and coding because they liked it, and because it was something that they were interested in. Do you think that that'll kind of change the market to a certain extent, in that people who are now going to be moving into development work will potentially, be looking at it from a very much a career driven perspective? And do you think that will kind of change, any team dynamics or anything? Do you, from a high level perspective, do you think that will have any impact at all?
Yeah, I think so. So you see a lot of people going to short, quick 3-4 month courses, and then just graduating out of those, and claiming to be full stack devs or, you know, JavaScript devs or front end devs. However, those are very career focused, and driven by the demand. And then basically what the other track is, you know, people who kind of contribute to open source, work on side projects, you know, build stuff all the time, and they're like active in the community, like go out, you know, to conferences and such. So there's like completely different tracks there. I found that, people who are, you know, in, who are active and like working on their side apps, you know, contributing, are generally better. But I've also found that people who actually went to school, for a computer science degree have a solid, like, you know, background as well, because that's what they were interested in. And as opposed to someone who was in a different profession and said, oh, you know, there's a lot of demand for this, you know, job, so I would just go to this course that's there for like a few months and kind of just go on from there.
Got it. And is it easy to kind of identify that? Because I did want to ask you as well, getting into the, you know, the point in your career now where you're managing and, you know, even hiring people. Obviously this is something that, you know, you have to kind of be aware of and, things to look out for. Do you find that it's relatively easy to identify, you know, the desirable traits in candidates, now?
Usually if you look at a resume, you can tell within, you know, about 30 seconds or less, if that person is a good candidate. And as weird that it sounds, it's like the first impact that always gets me is like, how neatly is your resume laid out? Like, how easy is it to find information, right, that I'm looking for? And that's like one of the big things for me is like, can I find the information within 5 seconds of scanning your resume? Then sort of start looking for, you know, the experience that you have, and maybe even like the side projects that you've worked on, and what are you actively doing to get better, are some of the things that I look for in a candidate as well.
Right, exactly. That's interesting. So it's what are you looking for to get better? I had someone not too long ago who was mentioning that what they're really trying to identify is people who are not saying that they can do everything, but saying people who are saying that they can learn anything. And I think it's a really interesting statement, because I think people who are motivated by continuing to learn, especially in a technical environment now, are going to be the ones that excel, because the rate of change and the you know, of technology at the moment, you have to be constantly learning. And if you're not willing to do so, you know, eventually you're going to get left behind. And I think as well that there's the cultural aspect to that as well. People who are willing to learn are probably going to fit in much better in culturally, I would think.
Yeah, totally. Like, so if you take that in a context of a team environment, right? Like, so let's say you have a person who's very good at learning and wants to learn all the time, and you have another person who's happy doing what he's doing and, you know, doesn't want to learn or doesn't have the resources or the motivation to learn, right? In that kind of environment, the person who is driven and motivated to learn more will make others around him better, right? And motivate the others to learn. And that kind of becomes, good for the team. And then the team kind of gets better and better. And that kind of multiplies. And so like this one person kind of motivates the other guy, and the other person motivates or gets motivated and starts learning. And then that kind of has a ripple effect.
Indeed. So, you know, is culture something, since you've moved into this, you know, kind of managerial role that you kind of started to take very seriously. And, you know, how difficult has that kind of transition, you know, into manager been for you?
Yeah, so culturally, what I try to promote within my team is like, hey, you know, reach out to people, try to help others get better. Cause, like, in a team environment, you may not always be working with other people who have the same skill set. So you might be working with a lot of back-end devs or full-stack devs that may not know front-end development as good as you, because they have skills in other areas. So in that cases, I encourage my team to go help them get better, and instead of, you know, just showing them the solution, like make them understand how to get to that solution and how to approach that issue, and also sort of follow best practices and such. So yeah, it's a challenge, but you know, that's how we make everyone better, right?
Exactly. And it's a difficult one because, you know, people are varied, you know, in how they like to be managed. So there's no kind of one size fits all. So it's kind of a very proactive role, and something that, you know, is very difficult to try and transition into. And, you know, I think it's not something that's as easily taught maybe as, you know, technical things, because it's, you know, I think there's more of kind of the emotional intelligence side of it that needs to kind of come through. So it's an interesting one, isn't it? And it almost feels like a kind of different, whole different career in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a struggle, because it's the initial change from being an individual contributor to, you know, switching to a manager. It's like, hey, where's all my dev time going? I have no dev time, basically. So you spend a lot of time, you know, helping others, coordinating with other teams, making sure everything is working smoothly. And so a lot of time, you know, goes into that. And then you spend time making sure your team is getting better and, you know, things are in order. So that's one big challenge there. And I mean, for me, the transition wasn't that difficult, because coming in to the role, before that, even I was kind of doing a lot of, what I'm already doing. So, that's just because, of my personality, I believe. Like, I just, you know, by nature, just go help people, and so it felt like a very natural progression for me. So the biggest thing that I struggled with is, you know, finding time to actually focus on some dev work is it,
yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Do you think there'll be a point where you'll have to just kind of turn around and say, like, you know, I can't really do the dev work. I struggle to find the time. Do you think that that's something, and do you think that's a smart thing to do, you know, is completely separate the two?
I mean, so I'm struggling with that, because I know that it's going to happen where I'm like, hey, you know, it's just not worth it for me to try and code anything, because I'm just taking a lot more time to finish the thing that I could have finished like in a couple hours, right? Now it's taking me 2 days because I'm in and out of meetings, and context switching doesn't work that well. And so, yeah, so that's a challenge. And then, I don't know if it'll be better, like, to just like disconnect yourself from coding, because I feel like you should still be in the know-how and still kind of, be up to date on what's going on. I do believe, though, that you can find a happy balance where maybe you're not taking bigger tasks, like you can take smaller tasks and then, you know, have your team work on like bigger tasks and kind of jump in and out to help them where and as needed.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of organizations, isn't there, now that are kind of carving out alternative career paths for people. You know, you've got, rightly or wrongly, I think we typically assume that the most talented people at whatever the job is will automatically make the best leaders. And, you know, for whatever reason, technical people seem to have struggled with this kind of transition about how which direction to go with it. So I've noticed lately that quite a lot of companies are carving out these alternative career paths. So one, if you wanted to just stay technical, you can stay technical and you can still progress, you know, and be promoted throughout the career. And if you want to go into leadership, then, you know, you turn the other way and, you know, you can go, you know, solely into the leadership path. Do you think that that makes sense really for more companies to start looking at that as a way of kind of structuring the, you know, the progression?
Yeah, that's an interesting point because, I mean, you can have leaders who are technical as well. And then you could have, leaders who, you know, kind of just, leaders. So like in terms of if you look at the technical path, you might have like an architect who is still a leader, but doesn't deal with the people management aspect of it, right? And then if you look at the other track where you see the, more like a leader role in terms of management, where the person may or may not be technically very good, but they're definitely good with people. So I can definitely see like a mix. And then I'm sure there's people who lie in the middle too, who are somewhat technical and good with people as well. And or, you know, somewhat good with people or technical, you know, so you find a lot of mix of people. And in context of a company, it really depends on, you know, how a person grows into one of those roles, or if they're hiring, you know, specifically for those roles, then you have your work cut out for you, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's an interesting one, isn't it? And, I think something that we'll see more and more material and, you know, more options for technical people, you know, to progress, because I think it's got to be a frustration. And something you probably contemplated as well was, right, well, you know, I want to make more money, you know, I want more responsibility, you know, what do I have to do to do so, you know? And I think that not everyone is as natural as, you know, you clearly are. So, you know, it's a difficult decision for technical people to try and navigate through. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, and hear what the community has to say about it, you know, moving forward, really.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking in terms of like compensation wise, I believe that, you know, technical people are, you know, I would say even more valuable than managers, because, you know, technical people can kind of push the tech forward. But I guess you can counter that with, saying that, a leader in the people manager role can make the whole technical team better, you know? So there's two different faces of it. But I do believe that people in the two different roles at the same level can and should have similar comp. So, yeah.
I wanted to kind of try and close it down if we can, and by really just asking, you know, moving forward, you know, you're clearly someone who's, you know, managing a team now, is always looking for, you know, great talent. What do you think the next couple of years is going to look like? You know, referring to the similar topic we were talking to at the beginning, when we were mentioning how difficult it is to identify talent. Do you think that there's going to be more abundance of talent coming through? And, you know, what do you think is going to really be some sort of a significant thing to look out for within, you know, the next year or so?
In terms of technology or talent?
Yeah, exactly. Well, kind of both, really, I suppose, because, you know, technology is changing so quickly. And you know, the demand curve isn't quite catching up with regards to the available talent. So, you know, something, you know, clearly needs to give, you know, but, you know, what is this, you know, technical progression gonna slow down at any point, you know?
Oh, definitely not. It's always gonna, I feel like it's always gonna be a cat and mouse game where, you're always trying to catch up with tech and, you know, trying to learn the new tech, and then, the demand comes up and then you suddenly find yourself in a shortage of people who know that tech. So as a technical person, I feel like, you're always going to be in an advantageous position if you pick up the tech early and start learning early, and, you know, just get into it.
Yeah. I like that. Just get into it. I like that. Very yeah. Good. It's been a pleasure. We'll leave it there for now. And, you know, all I can do is thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your thoughts with you. It's really, you know, really interesting.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.